very much a privilege to be here with you all this morning, worship with you all. I just want to just start by extending my gratefulness to you as a body for standing behind me, supporting me in various different ways, financially, emotionally, and through prayer. Just very, very much appreciate your support, and I feel it. And I just want to thank you. I feel it's your prayers, your support that enables me to be there and serve in that way. So I just praise God for each of you and your support in my life there. I'll show a few pictures here. But this was last November. We took a group trip to Culiacan, the capital. Not the capital. It's the capital of the state, I guess. So yeah, it's like 5 hours from where we're at there. So it was a big trip for us to take as a group. Somebody donated some money, so it was definitely a little bit more costly trip. But we took a trip, and that was right before Chris left. So Chris is the guy to the right. It's the same. Okay. So to the left of me there. So he was my co for close to 2 years, so Chris left, finished up his term in November, and then Keith, the guy to the right, is now my current co. So all three of us were able to go on that trip with the boys, and then those are all the boys, all six of the boys that we have right now. The newest addition to the group is Juan. He's the guy with the blue shirt sitting inside the blue O. He's the newest kid there. He's 9 years old. So yeah, there we are. That was our trip. We did a lot of fun stuff. We were able to go go-kart racing. The boys absolutely loved that. Just a great trip there in Culiacan. We actually got to go ice skating. None of the boys had ever done that before in an indoor rink there. It was just a huge blessing being able to do that. Here's a picture of us harvesting jamaica. It's the hibiscus flower, something we do, quite a bit of. We harvest this flower and then boil it down, make a tea, and then the boys sell the tea in town and make profit off of that for the boys. So peanuts is also a big one. We plant a lot of peanuts, harvest the peanuts, and then toast them and then sell them in town. So, and that, all the profit then goes to the boys for their work. So it's a really cool, chance to be able to help the boys out with that. Sergio with his birthday cake. Just some highlights from the past 6 months. That's a new moto we got. A lot of fun in the mountains there. That was Christmas Day. Got all the boys Mexico jersey shirts. Boys did a Christmas play, or all the children actually did a Christmas play in school, which was really well done. So yeah. They loved it, and it was really cool to see them, acting out the story of Jesus' birth. There we are, cooking eggs, having a cookout next to the hot springs. Just a Saturday activity. Just a few pictures. This was a big highlight for me, was going caving a couple different times, and the one time, there's a really cool cave there that. Had some crazy experiences down, and we actually found pools down inside the cave. We'd go swimming in down in the bottom of this cave, and it was, just a lot of fun. There I am with Chewy on special time. There's Chewy after a mishap. He's just backing up with that wagon there and just landed in the fire pit. So had to snap a picture of that one. There we are. That's just out on the property. We do play a lot of disc golf. We have a nine-hole disc golf course, not just trees and stuff. No baskets, but a lot of fun. Beautiful out there. Do that almost every day. We go out and play disc golf. There's Sergio when he hurt his knee in playing sports the one afternoon. So he was in at the hospital, but praise God, it wasn't more serious. Just a morning sunrise. Special time with Jose. We went somewhere special and played, made up our own disc golf course and played together. Another Saturday, I'm swimming. massive snake we saw. That was pretty wild. We saw it there, the one place we were swimming. Supposedly these black snakes in Mexico only get to be like 4 or 5 feet long, but this must have been like one of the biggest ones because I'm sure it was at least 6 feet long. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I hit it with a rock, but wasn't able to kill it. Special time with Juan. He ate pretty much the whole pizza. I think I ate like one piece. there we are working out on the property, just clearing up some trees and stuff. Ed went out there. Washing a moto. This is Sunday school, Sunday morning. The younger boys go to Sunday school, which is really cool. It's something that just started recently. Just another random picture. So, yeah, big highlight about 2 weeks ago now, 3 weeks ago. Two of my boys, Jose and Luis, were baptized. That's Jose being baptized there. And then, there's Luis there. I think I have a video somewhere of Luis. They shared their testimonies then in front of church, which, it was really stretching for them, but super cool to see them share their stories a little bit of what led them to Christ and give that commitment before the church. They would both be 14. Right now. So Luis just turned 14 and Jose's about to turn 15. So just young men that are on a journey, but God is doing a real work in their hearts. This was just a morning time of devotions, just me and one of the boys. Is it working? I don't know if I have sound, but it's just something I started doing once a week or so, just taking a boy out with me and just having devotions with him in the morning, and just a really special time connecting with God with the boys. And this is Luis' baptism here. Not sure. Is it easy to get the sound to play? But you can. Is that what it is? It's on my. There we go. Okay. Start over. Super special to be able to be a part of that. So those are all the pictures that I have to share. But very much have seen God do more of a work just in these past 6 months or so. There's been some challenges, but just the underlining thing is seeing God work in the lives of the boys. Jose and Luis would have both responded to an altar call about a year ago, and they've been going through different Bible studies and stuff since then. And Sergio and Edwin, had both gave their lives to Christ. For Sergio, it was more of a recommitment to Christ, and for Edwin, just first time being born again in just December and January, several months ago. And just, walking alongside them, discipling them, and that it's just been time and time again seeing this is nothing that I'm doing, this is God doing a work, and seeing the Holy Spirit working in their lives, and definitely can't pray for them too much. So that's, it's amazing to see God working in their lives, but there's a lot of vulnerabilities and, thinking about their futures. The cry of my heart is that they would be in heaven with me someday. And, it's a dark world out there, and if they're never adopted, it's the likeliness of them ending up in really bad situation is just, it's really high. And so it's something I pray about every day, just that for families to adopt. So they're getting older and they're so ripe for adoption. But So yeah, that's definitely just, you can pray with me in that for families and for their futures, and that they could stay faithful to God. God's in control, and he knows what their future is. So, yeah. Once again, just thank you all so much for supporting me, being there. And right now, I'm committed till September, and that's pretty much, yeah, that's pretty for sure that I will be finishing up in September. So that's 5 months away now. Feels like it's getting quickly a lot closer. And yeah, but just, yeah, it's really exciting. See all that God has done these past 6 months or so, and I pray that God will do even more in these next 6 months or so before I leave. But yeah, just, yeah, right now that's the plan, that I'll be returning, and they have other caregivers lined up to take my place, so that's, praise God for that. I don't know if that, I know I've shared about my time in Mexico some before, and I think most of you have a pretty good idea, but I will just open it up quickly if there's any questions, anything I haven't made clear, or before I get into the message, don't know. If anybody has any questions, this would be the time.
How long does one boy stay?
Is it indefinite or just whenever? Yeah. So, they're in the orphanage system till they're 18. They're under, basically, the technicality, they would be under the government's jurisdiction till they're 18. And once they're 18, then they're adults and they're free on their own. So,
Unless
yeah.
Someone would adopt them?
Mm-hmm.
And they
yeah.
Earlier?
Yes. So they can be adopted at any time. Most of my boys have all the processes done, the paperwork's ready to be adopted. It's just the need for families. So if that adoption wouldn't happen before they would turn 18, at that point, they're not adoptable anymore after 18. And they would, yeah, that is a possibility, and something else to pray about is the possibility of another ministry being started that could work with boys once they age out, so that they're not just left on their own. There are some people that have a vision for that. But yeah. Any other questions? Jesse?
I don't have a question, but I have just rejoicing with you, and just to see a baptism here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know this was deep in your heart, and you requested prayer a few times for this. So,
Amen.
Rejoicing with you, and just commend you for sticking with me.
Thank you. Praise God. Yes. Yeah. Well, I think I'd like to just pray at this point, and then we'll move on into the message. So you can turn the slide off if you want. But yeah, let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. God, we thank you for being a faithful Father. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all that we've already heard this morning, even through what Austin shared, and just seeing, God, the work that you are doing all around the world, God, that you are building your church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. You're working in one life at a time all around the world, God, and we worship you for that this morning. We thank you, God, for the work that you're doing here this morning, God, in Lancaster County, in the Church of Cross Keys, Lord. We praise you for that work, Lord. We pray that you would continue that work, and that you would just continue, God, to work and do a deeper work in each of our lives, Father. God, I pray for the message that you've laid on my heart for this morning, Father God. I pray that this would be a message from you, Father God, that it would communicate, that your word would go forth, it would not return void, God, that it would communicate what you want to communicate with every person here this morning, Father. I pray that your spirit would flow through me, and that ears would be open to hear, Father. Just commit this to you, Father. Trusting you, God. We praise you. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I'd like to turn to Revelation chapter 1. If you can turn there. So when Jesse asked me to share, I didn't think about it, that it was going to be Easter Sunday. But I felt, I felt like there was something that God was putting on my heart. And then later, when I realized it was Easter Sunday, I realized how well it lined up with the theme of Easter. So I could just see God working in that. And yeah, the worship this morning very much goes along. Just so many of the songs we sang this morning just connected exactly with the message that God has placed on my heart. The power of the cross. The message of the power of the cross. And I had to ask the question, are we living in the power of the cross? Is the power of the cross something that we're reaching out and touching and experiencing from time to time, or is it something that we are living and dwelling in and experiencing the power of the cross every day? And what is the power of the cross, and what does the power of the cross mean to us? That's kind of the theme of the message here this morning, what I want to share. Here in Revelation 1, I'm going to start reading some here. Starting in verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then skipping down to verse 12. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, and they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So we've been doing a study of Revelation. It's our pastor, actually, the Mexican pastor there, has a Bible study every Monday night. And so since the beginning of this year, our group has been going to that study every week. And we've been studying one chapter at a time through the book of Revelation. And it's been so encouraging, and it's a book that I've never paid a lot of attention to before. I found some real encouragement from it, but it's obviously more of a confusing book in some ways. There's a lot that's difficult to understand in Revelation, but there's a lot of really rich truth that has really blessed my life. So some of that, yeah, is just what I want to share with us this morning. But focusing on some of these verses, especially verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. That's the God we're worshiping this morning. God that was dead and is alive, and not only is alive now, but is alive forevermore. So what does this mean for us? What did Jesus purchase for us by his death and resurrection? And I think, yeah, we could go on and on into that and just rejoice and worship God for what he's done for us in dying for our sins and rising from the dead. And so much of that is what we sang about this morning in the worship. And but the underlying thing is he purchased our redemption, that we who at one point were far off have been reconciled to God. We've been redeemed, drawn nigh by the blood of Christ. That is what we That's what God has done for us, and that's why we're here worshiping God this morning. But I want to look more specifically at one of these aspects. First of all, I want to present one of the biggest threats to us as a church, or you could say a problem. Threat to us is Satan, our accuser. God has redeemed us. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. We are, those of us who have trusted in Christ, are bound for heaven. Praise God. And yet, we have an accuser. The Bible describes him as an accuser of the brethren. Satan, our accuser. And Satan, we know that the Bible talks in Genesis about there being enmity between the seed of the woman and Satan. There's that he is our accuser, and he is forever angered with the human race. And one of the things that we studied in this more is seeing that Satan is seeking for justice. In one sense, Satan rebelled and the human race rebelled. We both rebelled. And yet Satan continues to rebel, and we know in the end, he's damned. And yet, we have been given redemption. And that is why Satan hates us so much. That is why Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That is why he hates the church, because he sees that God has redeemed us. And so Satan is doing everything he can to accuse us. He wants as many of us to end up in hell with him as he can. He wants to see as many people in hell with him as he can. And yeah, he seeks for justice, because to Satan, it's not fair that God has redeemed us. And yet he has been damned. And so he seeks for justice and seeks to accuse us. So I want to look a little bit more into this. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, we see a little bit here. There's different places in the Bible we see Satan coming and accusing the saints. But here we see an example. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by." We see later on in the chapter that Satan doesn't show up again. In the beginning, Satan is here resisting Joshua the high priest, accusing him. And we see that Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. And I believe these filthy garments signified sin, the sin of all of us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Joshua was there, and his sin had dirtied his garments. And we see here God stepping in and saying, take away the filthy garments from him and clothe him in clean garments. And Satan no longer has grounds to rebuke Joshua the high priest after this. Because Satan, in his grounds for seek, in his accusation, always seeks to condemn us for our sin. He always seeks to point out that you too are rebel. I am damned. Satan is damned for his rebellion, disobedience to God. And so he comes before us and he says, look at the sin in your life. Look at your rebellion, your disobedience. You too should be damned. And he condemns us. Look at the filthy garments. Look at that stain on your garments. That stain is there because of your sin. And because of that sin, you have no right to redemption. You have no right to what God has for you. You have no right to go to heaven. You have no right to be right with God. And he's right. We know that no sin can enter God's presence. We know that if our garments are stained and filthy, we're not going to be in heaven. There will be, I don't have the verse here, but it talks in Revelation about there being no defiled thing. Nothing like that will be in heaven. And our rebellion naturally stains our garments. And so here's Satan. He's accusing the saints. When he sees sin in our lives, he points it out. He's, look at the filthiness on your garment. And he stands to accuse us. And here we see what happened. We see that his garments were changed, and he had clean garments, and Satan no longer had the power to accuse him. So I think this is powerful in our lives, and I want to turn to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It's always been one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I've had it memorized since a young age, but just as we studied Revelation, this verse took on powerful new meaning for me. Revelation 12, 11. We'll start in verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan is there. He's accusing us, accusing the saints, pointing out their imperfections, seeking justice. And how did the saints overcome? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. What is the only cleanse for sin? What is the only perfect sacrifice? The shed blood of Jesus. Lived a perfect life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We see that in Leviticus. Jesus' perfect, sinless life flowed out when he died on the cross. The blood of Jesus is what is offered to each of us who come and repent of our sins. The blood of Jesus is what is imputed on us to cleanse us from our sin. And that blood of Jesus cleanses those filthy garments. Those garments that are filthy from our sin, from our rebellion, the same rebellion that Satan committed, that blood is sprinkled on us, flows over us, and our garments are white as snow. White as snow. And when Satan comes and accuses the brethren, which he seeks to do, when he sees sin in our lives and he points it out, we can point to the blood of Jesus and we can testify. And I think that's the powerful part here, the word of their testimony. We can say to Satan, I am covered in the blood of Jesus. And that sin has been washed from my garments. I stand in clean white garments. And I believe, just like we see in Zechariah chapter 3, that Satan has no power to accuse us. No grounds. I believe Satan literally cannot accuse a saint that is standing in repentance in the blood of Jesus. Sure. I want to turn to Romans chapter 8. We see this play out. Romans chapter 8, first part of the chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those who are in Christ Jesus, who trusting in the blood of Jesus, in his cleansing, there's no condemnation. The accuser has no power. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. First Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. So I want to go quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to go back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 to 15. This morning, we're in a battle, we're in a war. Praise God for the work he's done in our lives. Praise God that we have trusted in those of us that are here that have put our faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God for the work that's in our that he's done in our lives. But in this battle, in this war, we continue to wrestle with sin. And in that wrestle with sin, we have an accuser. Satan is going to continue to seek to accuse us, to seek to point out the stains in our garments. And this is just something that is just a new truth that's ministered to me. And just let's be strong and let's continue, I believe, daily to remind the accuser that he has no power to accuse us. That those that we can continuously, not just at salvation, but continuously place all of our faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus, and know that Satan has no power to accuse us. There's some super encouraging verses here that I just kind of want to close with in Revelation, to seeing those that have overcome and have done this. Revelation 7, 13 to 15. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of a great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. May that be us. May we, in these days of, I believe, great tribulation, may we continuously wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb and stand against the accuser. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. It says, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. The white robes, I believe, here again signify the imputed righteousness of Christ. over our lives. Here, this example is of martyrs, those that were martyred and killed for the cause of Christ. Are we willing to be killed for Christ, the name of Christ? The days that we live in, I think it could be a lot closer to home than we might think. Revelation 3, verse 4 through 6. Thou hast few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There will be a few who do overcome that will be clothed in white. Once again, may that be us this morning, church. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 to 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. There is a great marriage coming. And the only guests will be arrayed in white. There will be no guests at that marriage supper of the Lamb that are not arrayed in pure white. That white says the righteousness of the saints. We know that our righteousness is nothing. That righteousness that is ours is through Jesus. It's through his shed blood that we can be righteous. So I just want to close with that this morning. Just my challenge, something that's encouraged me, is just may we continuously trust the blood of Jesus who died for us and was risen again. Worship the risen King this morning. And when we feel the accuser coming, next time we see a stain on our garment and we feel that condemnation coming, we see Satan accusing us, can we stand and claim the blood of Jesus, be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and may the accuser have no power in our lives.